From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We've been studying God's Word this week, focusing on how do we respond when we have sinned against the Lord. How are we made right again with the Lord? Specifically, we've been dealing with the false teaching of Mr. Camping, who said that Jesus Christ was coming again on May the 21st, 2011. Many were ensnared by that teaching and now are embarrassed because they followed that teaching and Christ didn't come. Some gave a great deal of money, perhaps their life savings. Others left their jobs and now have nowhere to go to work. And in a sense, they're destitute, and they're destitute because they were following the teaching of this man. But even more importantly, those who were following that teaching were saying things about the Lord and the Lord's return that are not true. It is one thing to be harmed physically by our actions. It's another thing to be harmed spiritually. And so we find that there are those who are bewildered, those who are embarrassed, those who are wondering, is there any way back into the good graces of God? Is there any way where I can come back and know Him? And we have been suggesting that the Scripture is abundantly clear that the way back is the way of repentance. It's a turning from sin. It's a humbling of the heart. It's a coming back and not making light of sin, not making excuses for sin, but an honest, open admission of sin and a turning from that sin and embracing of Jesus Christ and all that He is for His people. As our high priest, as our sacrifice, as the propitiation for our sins, Jesus Christ is able to restore the backslider. He is able to restore the believer who has sinned. Along that same line, I want us to consider this evening the new doctrine that Mr. Camping is portraying as being the real teaching of Scripture. By that I mean Mr. Camping has admitted that Jesus Christ did not come back physically on May the 21st. And so he has made a twist, as it were, to his doctrine. He is now reinterpreting the dates that he has given. He believes the dates are all accurate. He believes that on May the 21st, 1988, judgment fell on the Church of Christ, and the Church of Christ was delivered over to Satan, and that the Church is still under Satan's dominion this very hour. He says that no one is saved in the Church. No one since 1988 has been saved in the Church. And then in 1994, the Great Harvest began on September the 7th. And that great harvest continued on until May the 21st, 2011. Christ did not come back physically on May the 21st, as Mr. Camping predicted. There were those who asked him, would Christ come back perhaps in a spiritual fashion? And he was very clear in the saying that no, he was coming back physically. Well, Christ did not come back physically on May the 21st. And so now Mr. Camping is saying he came back spiritually. And one of the results of that spiritual coming, according to Mr. Camping, is that no souls will be saved between now and the end of the world on October the 21st. October the 21st has been his date for the end of the world. May the 21st was the date he chose for the coming of Christ. And then there would be this five-month tribulation in between those two dates. Well, Mr. Camping now teaches that no one will be saved between May the 21st and October the 21st, that this is the time of great tribulation and no souls will be coming to Christ. Now, Mr. Camping has a very vivid imagination. The problem is that imagination is not in keeping with the Word of God. In fact, his imagination is thrusting down upon the Word of God, his own ideas. And then he is telling people things that just are not true. For instance, he said that from May the 21st, 1988, until September the 7th, 1994, no souls were saved in the church, and no souls were saved outside of the church. But that just is not true. I saw souls saved, both under my ministry and under the ministry of the man who I was an assistant to in Greenville, South Carolina during that time period. Since I've come here to Malvern as the pastor, we have seen souls saved. I've been to Liberia 8 times, and we have seen souls saved on almost every single trip to Liberia. Souls saved in the church. Souls saved by the ministry of the church. In Liberia, we have baptized people in the ocean on 4 or 5 of our trips. One time we baptized 17, and other times we baptized 14. Mr. Camping would have you to believe that none of those people were saved because they were saved in the church. My friend, such teaching is bizarre. It is not dealing with reality. It's not dealing with what the Scripture says. The Scripture does not say that souls will not be saved in the church. Nor is it dealing with reality, because when you look, people are being saved. There are those who are listening to my voice right now, and you were saved since 1988. You have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Many of you were saved through the ministry of a church, someone giving you the gospel, or perhaps sitting under the pastor's preaching and coming under conviction and coming to embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. You were saved. Now, part of my job as a minister is to exhort in sound doctrine. You find that stated in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. But Titus goes on to say, not only is the elder to exhort in sound doctrine, he is also to convince the gainsayers. That is, he is to refute those who are contradicting sound doctrine. Now, Mr. Camping is saying that no one will be saved from May the 21st to October the 21st. He said that no one was saved, again, in this time period between 1988 and 1994, either in the church or outside of the church. And then in 1994 till the present, he said no one was being saved in the church, although people were being saved outside of the church. And as we have already indicated, that does not indeed gel with reality. In reality, people have been saved, are being saved, will continue to be saved. How do you know that? Well, we know that from experience. We have preached the word and seen souls coming under conviction and finding Christ as Lord and Savior. Just recently, in witnessing to someone who was concerned about the teachings of Mr. Camping, we saw that soul come to a peace and assurance and faith in Christ. Now, obviously, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing him to Christ. We know that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that gives repentance, that gives faith. But nonetheless, the man must exercise repentance and faith, and as he has done so, he has come to an assurance that his sins are forgiven, that he is right with God, that truly the mercy of God has brought salvation to his soul. When did that happen? Just a few days passed. It happened as a result of someone in a church ministering to the heart of this soul. When you come to Peter's writings, you have an interesting passage of Scripture, because it is dealing with Peter's timetable. It is dealing with the end. It is dealing with what Peter calls the return of Christ. And he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 4, that there would be scoffers coming in the last days. Well, we're certainly in the last days now. And these scoffers would be walking after their own lust, not following their intellect. They'd be following their lust, their passions. And what would be their scoffing? Well, verse 4 says they would say, where is the promise of his coming? Speaking of Christ's coming, they would mock and they would scoff at the fact that Christ has not yet come. They would come to the church and challenge the church. Now, what Mr. Camping has done recently in predicting that Christ would come in 1994, and then again predicting that he would come in 2011, adds fuel to the scoffers. But had there been no Camping to predict these things, there would still be scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? It's just that men like camping and others who have predicted a date for the coming of Christ adds, as it were, fuel to the fire of these scoffers by lending them, as it were, ammunition to shoot at the great doctrine of the return of Christ. When you come back to this passage and read down a little bit further, Peter is explaining the coming of the Lord, and he says in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." He's not slow about keeping his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter here recognizes that the Lord had not come in his day, and that there would be a period of time where, in the last part of the last days, Christ would still not arrive, as it were, and men would be mocking his coming. But Peter says God is working out his own purposes. And according to this passage of Scripture, God is being long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who are the usward? Well, Peter is writing to believers throughout Asia Minor and that area. He mentions the regions in which he is writing in the first epistle. And he says at the beginning of chapter 3, this is the second epistle now that he's writing to these brethren. And he's saying, the reason Christ hasn't come back is because he's long-suffering to us. That is the elect of God, those who are now the church. He is long-suffering, wanting us to come to repentance. It's a great passage of Scripture dealing with the sovereignty of God and salvation. That God's sovereign purposes are not going to be frustrated. And so Christ hasn't come back. Why? Because he is saving a people. It's not that he's slack about his promise. It's not that he's forgotten his promise or cannot fulfill his promise. It is that the promise is being held, as it were, until Christ has brought in his people. Later on, when you come to verse 15, you read this. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Here is Peter again speaking of the long-suffering as to why Christ hasn't come. And he says, you are to account it, you're to consider it to be salvation. In other words, if Christ has not come back, it is because there are still a people he is going to save. So, if Christ were coming October the 21st, and we do not know that he is, but to say that if he were coming then, that no one could be saved between now and then, is truly not biblical. The reason Christ has not come is because he is still saving a people. It is still the day of salvation. And the invitation still goes out. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you want Christ and God has been dealing with your soul, then come. Turn from your sins. Come and embrace Christ. Come and lay hold of him as Lord and Savior. And you will find that he is more willing to save you than you are to be saved. Come and lay hold of Christ even this day. If we can be of help to you in your coming to Christ, or if you have other questions concerning the doctrine that Mr. Camping is teaching, feel free to call us at 610-993-3170. That is 610-993-3170.